Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about what happens when you have a child whom you love dearly, but do not understand because he doesn't have the ability to communicate and you are unable to understand his behavior. Tonight we talk about Danny, the story of a son with the symptoms of Asperger's syndrome long before that term was coined, and his lifelong struggle of misdiagnosis, medications, depression, and isolation. Tonight we talk with his mother, Bridget Marlin, artist, mother, wife, and her fight to find hope and stability in dealing with her son's tragic demise. It is a pleasure to welcome Bridget Marlin to WDIY to help us take charge of our lives and understanding the wonderful book that she wrote, A Meaning for Danny. Welcome, Bridget Marlin.
Thank you very much. I really enjoy the prospect of talking to you.
Well, you know, this was a very special book. You wrote about your own life. You wrote about it was like a memoir for you, a memoir for yourself, and it's also very meaningful for all of us. And tell me, where did you meet your husband?
I met him in Ireland. My father was a diplomat, and our family moved around the world. And we happened to be in Dublin then, and I met him at a dance.
Wonderful. How old were you at that time?
I was 17, and he was 19.
And he was 9. And what was his name?
He was Jim.
Jim. And so you met at the dance. You were 17. How long did you go together before you got married?
Well, the fact was that we corresponded until I was 21, because we moved around to Paris and then Montreal. And he had to graduate, and when he graduated, he came out to Montreal, and we were married then.
And so you were how old when you were married?
21.
21, and he was?
He was 23.
23. And where did you decide to live?
Well, we had two winters, very, very cold winters in Montreal, and that was it. We decided to go to England. My husband had always wanted to live in England, so we went there, and by this time, I had two babies, and I was always longing to be an artist, a famous artist. So when we went to London, I thought this would be wonderful, and I could, to you know, go around and be an important artist.
And well, you know, so you had two babies right away.
Yeah, 9 months after we got married, I had Danny, and then. My mother said, if you were nursing your baby, you wouldn't get pregnant, but I got pregnant.
So
a year later, my other son was born, and then when we went to England, we had a third son, our only Englishman.
So you had three babies very close together. They're all about, what, a year or so apart?
Danny was three when the youngest was born. And there was one in the middle, so.
So there wasn't a very great difference in age.
No, they were all in diapers.
You should pardon the expression, that's a handful.
Yes. And all boys, you know, they have that energy.
Yes. So what did you notice, when did you begin to notice about Danny that was of concern to you? He was 3 years old?
He cried all the time. He was not a happy baby. And the only way he could be kept quiet was if we drove around in a car, then he was happy. So we did a lot of driving in the first few months of his life. And then he seemed to be not so bad once he reached a year old. And then growing up, he didn't seem to know much, but the younger boy, Charles, he was a very clever child, and he used to tell Danny what to do. And so he was like having a private tutor for Danny. So he grew up, I think, more normal than he would have been otherwise, with this little tutor telling him.
So Charles, his younger brother, became his coach.
Yes, he was his coach. And he would say to Danny, "No, Danny, you mustn't say Danny want this. You must say I want this."
So he was teaching him.
Yeah, from when he was two, he was speaking, and Danny at three would listen and do what he told him.
Was Danny speaking at what age did Danny learn to speak?
He would speak, but he would say, "Danny want this. Danny want to go," and then Charles would correct him. So he would follow Charles all the time.
So when did you begin to notice anything special about Danny that was different from Charles and his younger brother, Thomas?
Yeah, well, Danny didn't play with ordinary toys. He had strings of safety pins, and he would, it was strange. He was always muttering to himself like a little professor. But as he was the first, I always thought that he was a genius or something, you know, the way mothers do. I was very stupid about thinking there was something wrong with him. It was just something that never crossed my mind. He was a very good-looking child, very beautiful.
And, you know, it's interesting that what you didn't know at that time and what we now know is that children who, and he was developing signs of what we now know as Asperger's syndrome.
Absolutely.
And
what's
interesting about the comment that you just made is that today we understand that Asperger's syndrome children or those with Asperger's syndrome really have genius ability.
Yeah.
And we know that today.
Yeah. Well, often it's been remarked that autistic children are often quite good-looking, quite beautiful. And being an artist, you know, I drew him a lot. It just never occurred to me. And then finally when he had to go to school, the school said he had to go and see someone. They were very guarded. They didn't say that he had couldn't cope with school. And so my husband and I were sent to a clinic, and there was a very strange psychiatrist who sort of pretended that Danny was wonderful and no problem, and then suddenly looked at us and he says he's schizophrenic. It was really horrible the way he did it. I think he was a strange man. Anyway, that was not the way to break it to a loving parent, you know, that was terrible. Even now, there's a hurt there because he should have done something much more. He should not have praised him and then said that. It was like it was very cruel.
And what did you follow up on that diagnosis? Did he get medication?
Yeah, well, we had to then. And it's all in the book. We were sent here and there and everywhere. And the person that came into my life and saved the situation was an educational psychologist. She did some educational exams for Danny, and turned out at 6 years old, Danny had the intelligence of a 12-year-old.
That was amazing. In case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Bobrow. And today we're talking with Bridget Marlin, who has written a most inspiring book, A Meaning for Danny, My Son with Asperger's Syndrome. And I'm talking to Bridget in Great Britain. And we're just talking about how she discovered Danny's intelligence at the age of five with an was it five or six?
He met the psychologist at 6 years old, and she said he has the intelligence of a 12-year-old. She was really impressed. And then this is the wonderful thing about living in England under the National Health. They paid for Danny to go to a private school, which was normally would have been very expensive, which we wouldn't have been able to afford. And he was in a class with only 10 people, you know, so he had a lot of attention. And he seemed to be fine. He seemed to be almost normal. You see, Asperger's is it's a strange thing. You can appear almost normal, especially before your adolescence kicks in. But the trouble is that it's like a building with an invisible crack running through the whole building, so that they aren't normal. And sooner or later, especially in adolescence, it comes out.
Well, you know, it's interesting that some Asperger's children require a great deal of structure. And yeah. Once they are involved and they have a committed concentration, and I remember dealing with a family who had a child who was Asperger. He was about 8. And what they found was that his sisters could not interfere. He decided to play with Legos, and they wanted to join him. He refused, and he threw a tantrum. And what I later helped them to see was that he needed to be pre-warned and know in advance.
That's right. He had to have Danny had to have a structure, and if something was out of order. Different. Even if a dressing gown was hung up where it wasn't hung before, he would be very upset when he was younger, you know.
And how were you? Now, Danny also had something else that interfered with his diagnosis, I believe. And what was that, Bridget?
Well, then he was discovered to be epileptic, severely epileptic, because they were so busy with their psychiatry, I thought it was, they were telling me that these fits were psychological, and the normal doctor told me they're crazy, he's epileptic, and he got pills for him. And so we sort of kidded ourselves that the only thing that was wrong with him was epilepsy, which was easy to think.
Well, it gave you something concrete to hold on to.
But you see, then adolescence came, and then he had a breakdown, and then he began to be, he had a more of a mental breakdown, you see.
And we're going to talk more about A Meaning for Danny with the author Bridget Marlin, who is not only an author but a well-known artist, when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Bridget Marlin, who is an outstanding artist and who has authored a beautiful book, a memoir, A Meaning for Danny, My Son with Asperger's Syndrome. And Bridget had Danny at a time when people didn't know or were not aware of autism, of Asperger's syndrome. And this is the story of her courage and her desire and love to help her son, Danny, and make meaning out of his life. Now, we were just talking earlier. Tell me about somebody told you that he was schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Right. But that was not accurate. But then they began, you also took him to many psychological interviews, and did they give him a lot of medications to take?
No, they didn't give him medication, but then he started to groan and fall to the ground. And the psychologist said, oh, it's a psychological thing he's doing. But I took him to our family doctor, an ordinary family doctor, and he said he's epileptic. And, of course, it all made sense. The psychologist had completely gone the wrong way, down the wrong road. So we got pills for Danny, and he began to improve, and he lost the fits, so at least they were under control. But, of course, the thing is, as he grew older, he became very depressed. He wasn't happy with his life. He said, I'll never be able to get a job. I'll never earn a living. And the pills that he had to take for epilepsy, they depressed the epilepsy, but they depressed my son, Danny. And so he was in a cleft stick. It was It was a very, very hard time for him. And it was a very hard burden for the whole family. And people used to come to me and say, oh, we're so sorry for you, you poor thing. And I noticed that when they said this and I started feeling sorry for myself, it was too much to bear. It was too great a burden. And I suddenly thought, I can't be doing with self-pity. It's a killer. It's poison. So I tried to do the opposite and have courage. And I found that the way to have courage is to believe in something greater than yourself, to find a meaning. And to me, I believe any real faith will give you that meaning. Any belief in something higher, it will help a lot, because you need all the courage you can get when you have a problem like this.
Yeah, and especially the fact that you had no resources that you could actually count on to help you understand and really affirm Danny's behavior, because he was extremely bright.
Yes, he was. But that brightness in the end only served to depress him more, because he would see that he wasn't able to be normal. He could see that other people began to look down on him, because he noticed that he wasn't normal, and this upset him. I used to envy the parents of Down syndrome children who were so happy and never noticed that they were different, whereas Danny did.
Now, what was you did find a place to help Danny at least accept himself and find some sort of satisfaction in England. What was that place?
Well, that was the Chalfont Center for Epilepsy, and that was founded by a wonderful old doctor who said to Danny, we'd like you to come, because here you will have your fits. We can't stop that, but you can have your fits here like a gentleman.
Oh, how nice.
That's so English.
So Danny did well there.
Danny was as happy there as he could be. But the truth is that I think many of these Asperger's children, not all, but many, they don't want to live. And Benny actually took his own life.
Well, I'm not sure about all Asperger's, but he did take his own life. And my thought was this, and I came to that after reading the book, that Danny was so bright. He was able to read all kinds of philosophies.
That's
philosophies
right.
Of different religions, of Catholicism, of Buddhism, of
yes.
Islam, every conceivable religion. And he seemed to have come to an understanding for himself.
Yes.
About what?
Yes. And he said to me one time, Mum, I don't want you look on, you're afraid of death, aren't you? And I said, yes. Well, he said, I look on death as a friend, and sooner or later, I'm going to take my own life.
So he had made a commitment to do this.
Yes. And
how old was he when he said that?
He was 21, but at 19 he had nearly succeeded in killing himself. And when I went to see him in the hospital, he said, "I've been to a wonderful place, Mum." He said, "I've been to Narnia," and he said, "If I get better, I want to help people like me." But he said, "I wanted to stay there, but they said I had to go back." So I know there's some place. Whether you call it heaven or not, I know it from him.
Yes, and he was so aware through his readings. He had his own philosophy, his own belief system.
Yes.
That he tolerated being here the best he could, but he
yes.
was looking forward to something better. Now, you also had a friend who was a medium. Could you tell us about that that experience?
Yes, it was very strange, because when Danny said to me, "I'm going to kill myself sooner or later," I said, "But I love you." And he said, "I know you do, but you make me feel like a monkey on a string. I can't live my life for anyone else." And so I said, "But I'll miss you." And he said, "I'll speak to you through a medium."
Ah.
And then this friend of mine who was a medium rang me up 3 weeks after Danny died, and she said, I have a message for you from Danny. He died in great anger, but he's now at peace, and he's going to be all right.
That was a very soothing message for you.
Incredible.
And then you also had to deal with your own feeling of responsibility. How did you manage to do that?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch what you said.
How did you deal with your own feelings about Danny's committing suicide?
Well, I remember standing at his grave with my other two sons, and we were saying, you know, we'd learned so much. And my youngest son, Tommy, said, we're glad we had Danny, aren't we? And that summed it up.
So that while you weren't in charge of his taking his life, now you had to become in charge of creating your own life and dealing with Danny's death.
That's right. We understood very well why he didn't want to go on living. It was very clear. And so what I wanted to do was to write this book as a memorial to him, because as a mother, you can't bear it. If it becomes like a child is erased, as if there's no trace of him. So I did it to remember him.
And to help us understand how far we have come. Because in today's world, we recognize autism. We recognize various aspects of autism. We recognize what Danny had, which was Asperger's syndrome, and his brilliance of mind, and with some perhaps some social difficulties and some special needs. But today, we have those resources. You didn't have that.
No, but I can see them around now, and I often have a pang and wish that they were there when Danny was young.
And I wanted to let our listening audience know that in our area, in the Lehigh Valley, we have a couple of organizations that might be of help. If you are thinking about your own children, we have the Autism Society of the Lehigh Valley, and they can be reached at 610-778-9212. And we also have ARCH, which is an overall organization that can help give you various behavioral therapists and help to give you ways of diagnosing your children. And that telephone number is 610-573-2500. Now look at that. Bridget, you didn't have that.
No, we didn't.
But you have it now in England? You have various societies
in England? Yes, we do. It's now a recognized illness and a state of being. And many people have actually, with the handicap of Asperger's, they've still managed to have jobs and relate to people. And it's wonderful what they can do.
And they not only relate, they can perform absolutely beautifully and make very great contributions to society.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you had, this is a wonderful thing that you have done, Bridget. You have, and not only that, during this whole process, you were also finding ways to heal yourself through your art.
Yes, that's right. It's a great bonus. If anyone has a child like that, and if you have a gift yourself, the thing is to develop your own gift. You absolutely must have something of your own so that you don't totally throw everything into the child. You need to have your own life, because that'll help you deal with your child.
And in a sense, Danny's Asperger's syndrome created that opportunity for you to really find yourself in your art, which you've always longed for.
Yes, it did. Because in embracing my son's illness, I learned to open to the wider world, to see all the suffering in the world and to help others.
Well, I want to thank you, Bridget Marlin, author of A Meaning for Danny, My Son with Asperger's Syndrome, for helping us to understand that we need to accept our children's behavior and look for the right resources to help our children make progress and lead fulfilling lives. In today's world, we have outstanding people with Asperger's Syndrome who have made contributions to society. There are resources within our community and within our society to help all children to succeed and create meaningful lives. Thank you for sharing your story of Danny with us and helping us to understand that as parents, we also need to take care of ourselves and find meaning in our own lives. If you would like to read A Meaning for Danny, My Son with Asperger's Syndrome, you can go online and get a copy. And the author is Bridget Marlin. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.